Okay, so today we are going to do Gimel Abed, finish our Amudim-long saga of this conversation between the Umos Olam and God at the end of days. The last thing we talked about, the bottom of Gimel and Aleph, is how God had given them a second chance. They had them build the sukkah, and to make it a little difficult, God made it very, very hot. So we're here at the second to last line of Gimel and Aleph, last two words, Makdir. The Gemara had described that God had been Makdir. He had taken out, he unsheathed, whatever that means exactly, the sun, making it very, very brutally hot. And this assuming is going to cause them to leave. So the Gemara says, wait a second. V'ha amarta in a kadosh baruch hu ba'betronia in briyosav. You said that God does not act like a tyrant when it comes to his creations. That was sort of the setup a couple of lines before of how God actually therefore is giving them another chance. What motivated that is that God doesn't act tyrantly with his creations. So that's the case. Here you're saying that God tells him to make a sukkah, but makes it very, very, very difficult, if not impossible, to fulfill the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. Mishum Yisrael, Nami, flip over the page, give him a bet, Zimnin, the Mashchal Hu Tukuvas Tamos Ad Chaga, the Havelehu Tzahara. Says the Gemara, well, we want to make things, you know, equal to what it was like when the Jews would be performing this mitzvah of building Sukkot and living in them during Sukkot. And sometimes, depending on the way the year falls out, that the Tekuvas Tamuz, which is the area of the time of year which is going to be very hot, actually goes way into the Chag. And therefore, the Jews are also going to have this experience of it being very hot. And therefore, God wants to sort of level the playing field so that when the non-Jews are having this second chance to fulfill this mitzvah, it's going to be the same playing field as it is for the Jews. So the one says, okay, fine, so you're telling me it's really hot. As we described before, what happened is that the non-Jews left. They didn't just leave these Sukkot, and they went so far as to be meva'et, to kick the Sukkot. So the Gemara says, wait a second, let's invoke a halachic principle. Amar Rava, Rava says, mitzta'er patur min hasukkah. We talked about this on Friday, that one who is very uncomfortable is pained by the experience of being in the sukkah, whether it's too hot, too cold, maybe there's bees that's going on. So you're patur from the sukkah. We mentioned on Friday that the exception is, of course, the first night where there is perhaps a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat in the sukkah, and therefore many have the halacha is to make kiddush and have some motzi in the sukkah and then enjoy the rest of the meal. Well, at least in this case, where we would probably experience it, where it's warm and not wet. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. He the putter, buti nami mvati. It's true that someone who is pained by being in the sukkah is exempt from being in the sukkah, but they had to kick it. It showed the sort of disgust that they had for the mitzvah. And that sort of ends the opportunity that the non-Jews had to showcase their commitment to Torah, and seemingly they didn't get any, they will not get any schar, even though, again, we're talking in the future, even though it sounds like we're talking retroactively. So the Gemara then comments after this and says, "Miyad Kadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev u'Mesachek Alehem." The God sitting there again, anthropomorphically, God sitting there and he's laughing, he's jesting concerning them. Shemar, what's the pasuk supports such a notion? The second parak in Tehillim, Yoshev Hashemai Mischak, that the one who dwells in heaven laughs or jests at those. It's talking about the context in the second parak of Tehillim of how certain individuals and groups mock and jest the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people, and really thinking that what they're doing is so absurd, and yet God has the last laugh, so to speak. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak says here, we're in the fifth line on Gimel Bet. Ein slok v'yei Kadosh Baruch Hu la'osa yom bilvad. There was only jesting or laughter from God on that day alone. So those who ask, yikad amasni laha. So what was before, as just an aside before we go further, so the Rama actually brings down in Tafra Shlama Tess, Sif Zion, Hesilchos of Sukkah, that bringing this Gemara as the B'yar Grah points that this is the Rama's source, that even when we have to leave the Sukkah, even when we're going to be putter from the Sukkah, we shouldn't rejoice. We shouldn't be like, yes, I don't have to eat in the Sukkah and be like, you know, running out of the Sukkah. Rather, we should do it. We should actually realize that we're losing the opportunity to do a mitzvah. And even though it's true, halachically, we are technically exempt, and therefore, we actually, to go ahead and eat the sukkah would be an example of shtus, but we should still, our attitude should be that we're losing an opportunity, not that we should be rejoicing about it. So, again, going back, the Gemara continues and says, there are those who question Rabbi Yitzchak, ahad etani Rabbi Yossi Omer, and the following b'raisa. Rabbi Yossi said, la'atid lavo b'ayin ovti kuchavim u'mizgayrin, that the non-Jews will come and they converted. So, wait a second. This whole thing we've been talking about how, you know, this whole conversation that they had with God, and God finally has the last laugh, and then all of a sudden it sounds like from this brisa that the non-Jews converted after Mashiach. We have a problem with that. Because we really, we're going to accept converts at the time of Mashiach. This comes from the Gemara Nivamos. We're not going to accept converts in the time of Mashiach. And it says, the Gemara, similarly, they did not accept converts at the time of the rule of King David and King Shlomo. So what do you guys think? What would be the reason why we're not going to accept converts at the time of Mashiach, and why did they not accept converts at the times of the rule of King David and King Shlomo? What do you mean, ulterior motives?
Because they're killing and just want to touch your people.
Right, so when their fortunes are up, so then we see a little more skeptical, a little more discriminating towards who can accept. Any other suggestions of why?
Like, it's obvious that the Jews are right, and there's not, like, any leap of faith, I guess. It's just,
right, so it has to be, you know, Savitchik, he describes, you know, the conversion process, that's not just about taking on certain practices, but it's really putting in your lot with the, you know, hated people. In fact, we say, Rambam brings out Mishnah Torah, that when someone's converting, we actually tell them, like, are you sure you want to do this? This, you know, this tortured nation who's been the recipient of so much suffering, do we want to join them? Because it's not just joining, you know, a religion, it's really joining a family, joining a people. And so as both Ari and Arya were saying, that, like, when it's so obvious, either because, like, you know, it's so obvious, like, economically their fortunes are going up, but also, you want some Mashiach, when it's going to be so clear what the MS is, How could we possibly suggest them? So how can we make sense of the statement of Rabbi Yossi that they actually convert? So the Gemara says, no, Girim Garurim, is that they sort of, as Rashi points out, they convert themselves, but meaning they're like, oh, we're Jewish, presenting themselves as Jews, you know, maybe even some groups you can think of today, like, oh, we're the real Jews, and, like, you know, all the Jews are basically either fake white people, they're Khazars, or what's the other thing they say about us? I don't know. Other sort of theories are going around of how we're not really Jewish. You can go down to what's it called? The Central Bus Station, not Central Station in New York City. There we go. You go to Grand Central. There's some groups out there who talk about how we're not really Jewish. So I guess that's what. Yeah. All right. So those who will be listening later, you missed probably about 5 minutes. So sorry about that. All right, so we're continuing here at the middle of Gimel and Bet. So we had said that God left. So that God only left that day. So Gemara says, wait a second, is that so? Here we go, God's day. There are 12 hours in a day. Amazing. First three hours of the day, God sits and learns Torah. So, you know, therefore you'd say, halachta v'drachav, imitatio dei, we should all want to learn at least 3 hours a day. Shnios, what does God do for the second set of 3 hours? Yoshev adonis kol olam kulo. He goes and he judges the entire world. Kevan sheroesh nischayv olam klia. But he sees that, based on his assessment, those of you who watch The Good Place, you'll appreciate this this sort of calculations we made of it. How do you sort of really assess, you know, good actions and stuff like that? So, he sees that the world's going to be deserving. No one's going to get into heaven, so to speak. So, not wanting that, you know, his creation to be destroyed, he shifts from his chair of din to his chair of rachamim. So, just stopping here for a second. So, the Balei Tosfos point out in Divrei Maaseh Shniyos that they explain that maybe that's why when we say in Kedusha during Musaf every Shabbos, the term, what do we say in Musaf? We say, Mikomo hu yifem barachamim. That from his place, he should turn to us with rachamim. And typically, when we're davening Musaf, it's in the second quarter of the day. Therefore, say one of the opinions here, say Yeshomrim in the Divrei Maaseh Shniyos Yoshev Vedan, that's why it was incorporated into the tefillah to represent that at that point of the day, we're actually beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this Shabbos, particularly on Shabbos, that he should turn from his throne of Din to having a rachamim relation with us. So that's the first two quarters of the day. First he's learning, then he's judging. Shlishios, what does he do the third quarter? Yoshev Vezanas Kolam Kulo. He goes ahead and he provides, Rashi points out, he provides the means or the methods and the opportunities for every creation to be fed, as it says, as he says, from mikarne re'emim, from these humongous oxen, abetze kanim, to these tiny little lice eggs, from being the entirety of creation. Fine, so what does God do with his last quarter? Revios, Yoshev Mesachek im Nivatam. He jests with Leviathan. Again, I have no idea what that means. Shenamar, Leviathan, Zeyatarta, Lisachek Bo. This is Leviathan, this Leviathan I've created to jest with it. So the problem there is that you're telling me that God, according to, who is it, Rav Yitzchak? It was Rabbi Yitzchak. He said that God only had tzchok on that day, and yet here it seems like every single day for multiple hours a day there's tzchok going on with God. I'm sure there's lots of answers. Alpi Kabbalah, I am the Vilna Gaon. I'm sure he's lots of interesting insights on what that actually means. This being mesachek with the Leviathan. So the Gemara then says, well, no. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, which is always an interesting thing about the rabbis, of like the combination of like legal analysis with theology and like applying legal analysis to theology. Like, oh, don't worry, it's not a problem, because in Briyosav Mesachek, the Al Briyosav Eino Mesachek El Yosav Bavad. There's one thing to, right, it's like laughing with versus laughing at. Right, so God laughs with his creations all the time. It's with Leviathan for multiple hours a day. But God only laughed at his creations on that day alone. So the Gemara continues now. Amar le Rav Acha le Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, miyom shechar beis hamikdash ein tzchok l'kadosh baruch hu. However, that was good and well, you know, for God spending all this time during his day laughing and jesting with Leviathan, but after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, there's no longer any tzchok for God. We know on the leka tzchok, how do we know there is no tzchok? Elim Nixiv, maybe be seeing the proof text from, this is Yishaya Chaf Bet Yod Bet, Vikra Hashem Elokim Tzvakot, that God called that, God, the Lord of Hosts, called out that day, B'yamahu, L'b'chi, for crying, L'm'spid, for mourning, L'karcha, and balding. So, Dilma Hahu Yoma, V'sulo. So, fine. So, the Gemara says, like, you can't bring that as the proof text of why there's no longer tzchok for God, because maybe it was on B'yom Hahu, right? Says the Pasuk, by Yom Hahu, that day, maybe on that day alone, there isn't, but maybe the rest of the time, God said he took a break, and now he's back to laughing and jesting. So, the Gemara says, no, El Dechstiv, a different proof text. Something we're all familiar with. That if I forget, oh Jerusalem, my right hand should forget its function. My tongue should stick to the top of the roof of my mouth if I don't recall you. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Only thing you see from there is the issue of forgetting. Maybe God will never forget, you know, the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. But maybe he could possibly still have some enjoyment, even while he remembers the tragedy of the loss of his mikdash and the relationship it represented with his people. Al miha, but rather it's from this pasuk heshchisi miolam acharish et paik. That here the navi in Yeshaya is describing using the metaphor of God as a mournful mother who can never be at all given solace from anything, and just perpetually will be in a state of mourning. So the Gemara then says, well, wait a second. If he's no longer having tzchok, so back to God's, you know, what does God do during the day? He's got to keep busy. What is God doing in his last quarter of the day? So brevios mayavit. So Yoshev mlamet tinok shobes rabban Torah. What's he doing? He's teaching children Torah. Shenamar, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya, es mi yoredeya ves mi yavin shmua, who will teach knowledge, and who will understand the message? Those who are being nursed by their mother's breast, as Rashi explains, atike comes from a siluk that to draw out. So the Gemara then says, well, how do you read this pasuk? As follows: Lemi yoradei, lemi yavin shmua. To whom is being taught wisdom and the messages of Torah? The answer is legmulei michalav latike mishedim, from these children. So the Gemara then says, well, wait a second. If God's only now teaching the Tinoko Shobes Rabban, who was teaching them first? Who was teaching them? Some might say Metatron. That's a whole other discussion of Metatron. This angel, as the footnote points out here, that apparently Metatron is Gematria Shakai, Shindal Yud, one of the names of God. The relationship between Metatron and God is a whole theological conundrum of itself. Those who are interested in RPGs, apparently there was a Japanese game developer that made a game called Metatron, and you are Enoch, aka Enosh, and you are like operating these realms of Metatron. So apparently, again, so Metatron, not exactly what that means, was doing it, or says the Gemara, You know, two things can be true at once. V'ba'zema havaha avid. God was doing both. He was both b'masachik with Leviathan while also teaching Torah. U'b'layla ma'avid. Okay, fine. So great. God, that's what he does all 12 hours of the day. What does he do at night? What's the nightlife like in heaven? So v'ba'zema mi'in yamama. So some might say he does the same thing he does during the day, he does at night. So he's learning Torah, he's judging the world, he's feeding people, he's teaching Torah to children. So there are those who point out, well, wait a second. If you're telling me that God judges the world, we know that judges can judge at night. So how could God be judging at night? So I saw one of the sources pointed to the Sma. The Sma says that he says in Choshim Mishpat, Simon Hay, Sifkat Zion, that if you have light, so then there is no prohibition of adjudicating of having a court case at night. So what they take that to mean metaphorically is that because of Kadosh Baruch Hu, for him, it's all clear, everything is 100% clear, this prohibition of adjudicating at night isn't applicable to him. What I think it's interesting is the fact that we try to take the same like limitations and constrictions and things that we're bound to, and we apply them to God. The fact that the whole assumption is we apply it to God and say, well, just like we keep the mitzvos, so too God keeps the mitzvos. And I think it's an interesting, like, I think maybe a unique aspect of Judaism that we sort of ascribe and approach and assume and expect the same things for God for ourselves as we do for God. So the Gemara continues and says, okay, so maybe he's not doing the same thing during the day. What's he doing? Okay, this is also, I don't understand what this means. Ibaisema rochev al kruv kalshalo. He is flying. He's on his light cherub. Vishat b'shemon esra elef alomos. And he's flying in the 18,000 dimensions. Shana amar, as the pasuk says here in Tehillim, rochev elokim rebotayim. The God's chariots number 20,000. Alpayim shenan. Even thousands, which kind of doesn't make any sense. What do you mean even thousands? You told me there's 20,000. So the Gemara has a drush and says, Al tikri shenan ela she'enan. That it's not shenan, but there's lacking thousands. And so the Chazal's drush is, the minimum of thousands is 2,000. And therefore, that's where you get the 18,000 chariots that God has in his realm. Again, I don't know what that means. This is as a point of reference. There's a whole area of Talmudic mysticism called the Heichalot literature. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel were practitioners of it. This may have something to do with that. I don't really know more than that. V'bay Sam the Gemara says, what's he doing? God is Yoshiva Shemeya Shira and Piachayos. He is sitting and listening to the song of the animal. Shana Amar, as the Pasuk says, Yoma Mitzvah Hashem, Chazdo, God is decreeing his kindness, Ubalayla, Shiro, Imi. And at night, his song is with me. So in fact, actually, many point out from this, the importance of actually singing while we learn. The Tosfos Megillah, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, talks about how there actually was, particular nigunim, that they would use as actually memory devices to memorize the Mishnah. In fact, those who went to Araita, you know, Rav Davila Weinberg, who again should have continued Refuah Shleima, who actually composed the whole Mishnah project of bringing back these nigunim to help the memorization and facilitate that process of the memorization of Mishnah. So, Amar Rabbi Levi, Rabbi says, "Kol aposim divrei Torah, ba'oseg b'divrei sicha, ma'achilim lo gachali retamim." Someone who is learning Torah and he stops and engages in mundane matters, he hacks. So machilo gachalei ritamim, they feed this person the coals made from a broom tree. You're like, this sounds awesome. Shana Amar, as the pasuk says in Iov, hakotfim maluach alai siach v'sheresh ritamim lachmam. Yeah, I know. I personally am very unfamiliar with Iov, so I just wrote the entire pasuk on the bottom over here. They pluck saltwort from wormwood, and the roots of the broom are their food. So that's what happens. Amar Reish Lakish, however, in a more beautiful, more positive note, says Reish Lakish, "Kol oseg b'Torah b'layla, HaKadosh Baruch Hu moshech lav chut shel chesed b'yom." That a person who engages in Torah study at night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moshech, he draws forth upon them his chut, his band of kindness during the day. Shneamar, quoting our pasuk earlier, "Yoma mitzvah Hashem chazdo uvelaylo shiro imi." That during the day, he commands his kindness. Well, shiri me, then they're going to be said, "Ain shira ela Torah." So by learning Torah, a person will have the perpetuation of God's kindness during the day. Ma tam yomam itza Sorry, Matam Yoma Mitzvah Hashem Chasdo Mishum Nolayla Shiroi Misa. That was actually Joshua Lepas of the Chazal. That why is it that God is commanding His kindness for this person during the day? Because of what they did at night, B'layla Shirimi, they were learning and engaged in Torah. Ikadamri, another teaching in the name of Rish Lakish, Amr Rish Lakish, Kolosik, B'Torah, B'olom Hazeh, Hadoma L'layla, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshech Lav Chut Shel Ches, B'olom Haba, Hadoma L'yom, Shenemar, Yoma Mitzvah Hashem Chazdo. Rish Lakish is another teaching that says anyone who engages in Torah in this world, which is comparable to night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu draws forth upon them his rounds of chesed in the next world, which is comparable to day. As the pasuk says, "Yom Matzisav Hashem Chasdo." I think those who've been listening to Tikkus HaTzaddik, I think this is very much in line with Rav Tzaddik's thought that for us to, you know, to this world where it's not clear, it's so easy to not have Emunah Kadosh Baruch Hu. If nevertheless we go forth and we engage and we invest in Torah study and Torah values, then in a time where it is going to be Yom, a day where we have the clarity of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in our life, then we'll shower forth our reward. We're probably past the 20, even 25 minute mark, but should we just try to finish more of the Amud, or should we stop here for today? Isaac, let's go. We'll go for a little more. So we'll go a couple more lines. Amr Yehuda Amr Shmuel. The Yehuda and Shmuel quotes a teaching. Ma'ad Echsi, the pasuk says in Chabkuk, V'taseh Adam Kadagei Hayam Kiremes Lo Moshel Bo. That will make man like the fish of the sea, like a creepy crawler who has no ruler. So, lama nimshul b'nei adam kedagei hayam? Why are people being compared to and analogized to fish? Lama l'cha ma dagim shabiyam kiven sheolam l'viyah basha miyad mesim. Just like a fish, if they come out of the water, they come onto the dry land, immediately they die, they perish. Af b'nei adam kiven sheporshim midivrei Torah u'min ha-mitzvos miyad mesim. So too, if we go into and we remove ourselves, obviously not to do, if we go ahead to do mitzvahs, but if we're not engaging in Torah study, it's such an important, you know, element of our lives. Really, it enlivens us. If we don't have it, then miyam esim, we also will die. Devar acher, another teaching of this, madagna shabiyam, kim shekidr leim chama, miyad mesim, that just like when it comes to the fish, if it becomes very, very hot, exposed to tremendous heat, they also will die. So kach b'nei adam, kim shekidr leim chama, miyad mesim. It's important to know that you should not, you know, expose yourself to the elements because you will also die. I think Mara is going to go into another discussion of this, but, you know, we're going to stop here for today.